Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey you, yes you, passionate sports fan. If you'll give me less than 60 seconds, I want to tell you how you can start making as much as six figures per year and do it all around your passion for sports. Hi there, my name is Jim Parsons, and I know there are at least 14 different methods sports fans can use to start earning a solid income off of their love of sports, and I want to show you the system I've created that will start allowing you to profit from your love of the game and turn your favorite hobby into a profitable side hustle. Let's take you from being a hobbyist to a professional sports fan and show you how to make money in an industry you love. Go to sportssidehustle.com, that's sportssidehustle.com, and download my free startup guide. I'll explain to you the four fundamentals that you need to get started and then show you where to go if you want to learn more. Hey, the athletes don't need to be the only ones making money off of sports. Go to sportssidehustle.com today and let's get started. Hey all, welcome to another edition of the Sportster Show brought to you by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. In a second, we're going to have Norman Corrington on with us. We're going to be breaking down Extreme Rules 2022 in WWE. That is this Saturday, the pay-per-view is coming up. We're going to be talking about all the matches, making our predictions, and really talking about this White Rabbit teaser we assume that is happening here at Extreme Rules. So we're going to break it all down on this episode of the Sportster Show. We hope that you enjoy. Folks, we are a couple days away from Extreme Rules WWE 2022. I got Norman Corrington with the Sportster on here to talk about it, to break down the card, to go through the matches and talk about these teasers that we've been talking about here for the last few weeks. Norman, how you doing?
Good, man. And we're both with the Sportster.
Yes. Yes. What did I say?
Oh, you said I got you said I got Norman Corrington with the Sportster here. And I was like, well, you're with the Sportster too.
We're both I am. I am also with the Sportster. We are both writing on a regular basis. We are both doing podcasts weekly. We're both with the Sportster.
Yeah, so go check out our stuff on thesportster.com. We write a lot of stuff for that website. So yeah, we'd appreciate your support. Thanks for listening as well.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to download the podcast, you can do so, stream it, subscribe to it, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. All of that is greatly appreciated. Let's go through Extreme Rules because we've been talking about it. We've been writing about it. We've been, you know, covering this and we're ready for it. It is on Saturday. There's a lot going on here. There are not like the biggest stars in WWE. I don't know if they're, you could say that they're on this card, right? Like Roman Reigns has not got a match. Randy Orton's not back. Cody Rhodes is still injured. I mean, a lot of the really, really big names in WWE are not on this card. That said, this card looks pretty interesting on paper. It should be a very good pay-per-view. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by some stuff. And if the rumors of who might be showing up actually shows up, then it's a real win. So let's go through some of these matches. Now, do you want to talk about the teaser of the White Rabbit first, or do you want to save it till the end?
Let's save that till the end, since that could end up being the sort of big talking point from the show once it's all said and done. So yeah, we can save that to the end.
Okay. Let's do that. Oh, so let's go through one of the probably the match that I'm most excited for, which is going to be Brawling Brutes versus Imperium. Now, this the Intercontinental title match that happened between Sheamus and Gunther was awesome. The rematch that we're getting on Friday SmackDown should also be really good. I am curious, though, why they decided to have this match, the SmackDown version of this, the Intercontinental title match, the rematch, Sheamus and Gunther 2, why they did that right before Extreme Rules. Do you think that says anything? Like, is this a hint that they're going to be switching titles going into the pay-per-view? Or do you think that you can do that if you're WWE and go, why would we build this huge six-man tag match that everybody's really looking forward to?
Yeah.
And then have the title change just before it happens.
Right. Yeah. It's it's weird that that match is happening before this tag match. I feel like it kind of, I don't want to say cheapens it, but it's certainly like, I am looking forward to the six-man at Extreme Rules. I think that's going to be really good. I mean, I like everyone involved in that match. Obviously, I think if you're going to pick a weak link out of all of them, it's probably Ridge Holland, but he's actually, aside from the Big E injury thing, I think that he's actually like way better than he should be for how long he's been wrestling. I am looking forward to that match. Yeah, I think it's weird that they've got that one-on-one on SmackDown before. I feel like maybe it almost should have been the other way around, right? You'd think typically they do the tag matches featuring two people that are in a match at a pay-per-view before the pay-per-view, and then they do the one-on-one match at the pay-per-view, but they're doing it the other way around now. I'm intrigued. I don't know what's going to happen. I assume that Walter's going to retain. Sorry, Gunther is going to retain. Sure. And then that was a legitimate slip of the tongue there. I feel like Gunther's going to retain, and then maybe the Brutes win on Saturday. How about you?
You know what? I had to make a prediction. I think that this match, and I don't normally condone this sort of booking because I think it's a mistake when you build up like a Sheamus Gunther 2. Right. I think this is going to break down and we aren't going to get a finish, and it's just going to be pure chaos. I think Brawling Brutes, Imperium, I think the sell here is to have this match and just everybody just beating the living crap out of each other heading into the pay-per-view, because what you're trying to do is sell the six-man tag and how crazy and physical and strong and tough and barbaric or whatever word you want to use to describe it. I think that's what they're selling. I don't know that you're necessarily, there is a component of Sheamus winning this belt for the first time. He's never held the Intercontinental Championship, and I know that is something that he wants to do, but I could also see Sheamus Gunther 3. So I think maybe you have this match, you have it be a very physical affair. It lasts 15 minutes or so. And then everybody just gets involved. You throw the match out. You have your six-man tag on the pay-per-view. That goes whatever way it goes. I'm probably going to predict the Brawling Brutes on that one. But yeah. I would then have Sheamus Gunther 3. And if you want to switch the title at that point, then you switch the title at that point because you've built it up. It's really heavy. There's a lot going on there. There's a backstory that's incredible. And Sheamus and Gunther's had the title for a little while now. So if you wait, a month, and he still holds the title, and then you give it to Sheamus, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, and I kind of think, I think we both think that the Brawling Brutes are going to win on Saturday. I'm not sure what that does for Imperium. I don't know if you think that kind of damn it, because, they haven't been like a main roster faction for very long. I think Eichner and Bartel, who are now Kaiser and Vinci and Kaiser, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, just change them back. Just change those names back. It's too many. It's crazy. We had in NXT, it was, Walter, Eichner, Bartel, and now they're on the main roster. They're still Imperium, but they've got three completely different names.
Giovanni Vinci name doesn't make much sense to me because it's Italian, and this is a I don't think is Imperium supposed to be a German group? Like,
yeah, and he is. I think he's a. Is he Italian, Fabian? Like, well,
I don't know if he is or not, but the name sure sounds Italian, and that's what they were doing with him on NXT.
Yeah, and I think he. Let me just double check because I feel like he's Italian, but I feel like he's Italian, but I think he's from that like part of the sort of Alpi part that's a little bit more culturally adjacent to like Switzerland. So changing it to a more sort of Italian name, Fabian Eichner certainly fit the sort of Imperium brand a lot more than
right.
Vinci for sure. But yeah, I don't know if you think them losing on Saturday is, I don't think it's going to damage them too badly, but you know, Walter is probably, Gunther's probably not going to eat a pin or anything, but I feel like those two guys could have done with a nice little victory on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm actually not that worried about it. I don't think that losing, because these matches are so physical that really anybody can win and anybody can lose. I'm with you. I wouldn't pin Gunther just because you need him to stay really strong and elevated and not eat that pin yet. But especially if he is going to lose the Intercontinental title at some point, you don't want him losing twice. But I think either with a Kaiser or Vinci, whatever it is that you do, if that match is physical, if everybody is really, there's like nothing left, they leave it all in the mat and it's all, they've expended every little ounce of energy that they have, anybody can take a pin here and it's probably not going to hurt them. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think the Brawling Brutes are due though, because Imperium has beaten them a couple times now. So
this could be a show stealer, this match. It could be, I feel confident with Triple H booking that this could end up being a really bonkers kind of hardcore style match. The type that we've seen in AEW quite a few times recently. But with more meat slapping.
Yeah. What are they? I don't remember what the phrase is, but I know what you're talking about.
The two big beef slamming boys.
Yeah. The as far as in-ring action goes, yeah, this is the match for me. Like this, absolutely. And now the show stealer could be the teaser we're going to talk about at the end here, but I think the in-ring action is going to be it. So you're picking Brawling Brutes. I'm picking Brawling Brutes, correct?
Yeah, I think we're both going for the Brutes here. And yeah, I am a big fan of everyone in this match, really. I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, I think Ludwig Kaiser is really great. I can't wait to see him have like a singles run at some point.
I like all six of these people.
Yeah.
Like there's not a single one of these guys am I not a fan of. Like all six of them I think are fantastic. And I think Sheamus has really reinvented himself by being the leader of this group. I think Rich Holland's strength is on display. I love Butch, like Pete Dunne. So interesting the way that he wrestles and stuff, and I think it's very timely for this group. I really like them. Okay,
yeah,
moving on to the I Quit match between Edge and Finn Balor. I would assume that Edge is probably going to win here, but I wouldn't book it that way. Actually, I would book it so that this is the first time, if you really want to get Judgment Day over, and I think WWE does, I think you actually find a way to make Edge quit, because the whole buildup to this is that he will never do that.
Yeah.
Right. That there's no way, no amount of punishment, no amount of a beating will Edge ever say, I quit. I think you've got to make him say, I quit. And it's not, I quit WWE. It's just, I quit this match. And that to me would really put Judgment Day in a good spot, because if they could get Edge, the guy who would never quit, to say he quits, that really elevates them to the point that I think you and I have both talked about in the past, that you just, especially you, you're just like, I don't know if I'm feeling Judgment Day. Like I just, there's something about it. It isn't meshing for me.
Yeah.
I think this would really help. So if I'm booking this, I have Edge lose and I actually have him say I quit. Now they can go a million ways, cause there's really no DQ in these. So you can do whatever you want to do and get him to finally just say, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. Go whether it's another member or just a 4-on-1 beating, or Rhea Ripley gets involved here, whatever you got to do. But I would have Edge quit. That's how I would go.
Yeah. I think there's a way to do that too, right? You could bring Beth Phoenix into the fray, kind of try to manipulate him in a way that, you know, there are other ways to make him quit that aren't just sort of like by physically beating him. There's some sort of, there's like mental and psychological abuse that can be committed on him. I totally agree with what you're saying, that a Finn Balor win would be probably the more preferable way to book it here. And we did also have, just to sort of a few days ago, there was a WrestleVotes report that said that you know, this is just a report as well, so take it with a pinch of salt. But we know that Triple H is a fan of Finn. We've seen how he was booked in NXT. So we know that Finn Balor is a Triple H guy. Apparently, according to WrestleVotes, apparently they have big plans for Finn. So this could be the launch pad for that. If he does win. I just can't see Edge not winning on the pay-per-view. But I wouldn't, I can't see him losing, but I wouldn't be mad if he did lose.
Yeah, there's just, to me, there's a lot of things you can do here, whether you get AJ Styles involved because they've been teasing it, whether you get Rhea Ripley involved because she sort of seems to be the silent leader, even though Judgment Day says there is no leader of this group, and your WrestleVotes report that you're talking about suggests that they're looking at Balor as maybe potentially being the leader of this group. But I also think you can actually get Edge over more by having him lose, even though it's kind of like when Stone Cold Steve Austin passed out. He was never going to quit. He just passed out, right? If you do that with Edge, where he just fights all the way to the bitter end and there's just nothing else he can do, and he's given all he can give, and you're just feeling so sorry for this guy because he's just taking a beating, and there's nothing you can do. And he does finally quit. I think when he comes back after having quit, hit the momentum that he has and the fire and motivation he'll have to, you know, get retribution for having to say I quit, I think that's huge. I think that's really an opportunity to get Edge in a different place that he's never really been before. So to me, I think he wins by losing here.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yep. Strap match, Drew McIntyre, Karrion Kross. This one is interesting to me because I feel like they really were building it up quite well. Then it sort of took a backseat a little bit. And the last SmackDown that we watched, it was kind of, I think, because of the Florida stuff and the hurricane and the travel plans, it felt like that show was a little bit more thrown together than might normally be the case. But they did end it with Drew McIntyre whipping Austin Theory with a real good strap shot. And then we're going to get this match. I have a feeling, we talked about Brawling Brutes and Imperium being physically brutal. This match could match, like this one could match it. Like, I think that this is going to be, we're all going to be wincing like at how often, and we're going to see pictures of both of their backs on social media when this is over. And they just, it's going to look like they probably were in so much pain during this whole thing.
Definitely.
I don't know who wins though. Cause I'm not sure that Karrion Kross has maybe gotten himself to that point where he looks like a main event guy. But I think if he beats Drew McIntyre, you could put him in the conversation on SmackDown. But I don't know if you have Drew McIntyre lose. Like,
this is a tricky one.
I'm going to go Karrion Kross, but I'm not confident in that selection.
Yeah, and I'm the same. I think Kross is going to win. I think it would hit, but I also think, I kind of feel like it was too early for this match. Like, I think that, I don't know, I feel like there maybe could have been other, I think Kross needed more obvious fodder than a big star like Drew McIntyre, because I feel like, you know, and look, it's not going to, McIntyre can recover from losing here, especially if there's some sort of shenanigans involved. It's not the end of the world. But I mean, I still view him as like, I think Drew and Cody are the main people that I can see dethroning Roman. So losing to Kross on a pay-per-view might not be the best way to sort of, to build him up, but you know, that he can be rebuilt. It's not the end of the world. More importantly, though, I think we just need a very good performance from Karrion Kross here. Like an actual good physical well-reviewed performance, I think he needs. I think he has to be really on the top of his game. I think he is capable of that. But he hasn't had a lot of opportunities to prove it recently. And obviously his initial, I think he's still trying to repair the damage from that initial main roster run. I think he actually needs to come out the gates during this match.
Yeah, I agree with you, because he has been the one person who has re-debuted or come back to WWE who has not really had that, oh man, he's really good match. Like he's been in a couple little small squash matches, but nothing great. Like, would it be Drew Gulak or something like that? Like, he hasn't really done anything. Like, Johnny Gargano's been in there and already had a couple classics. Candice LeRae came back, she already had a really solid match. Braun Strowman hasn't had like that really big, but he's been put in some really situations where he's been elevated, and he's the Braun Strowman we know, right?
Yeah.
All these people who have come back since being rehired have really showed why they were hired and what they are bringing inside the ring. Karrion Kross hasn't done it, and it's not his fault. He hasn't been put in a situation, like you said, to do it. But you're right. If he doesn't have that match where you're like, yes, this is what, because he's got the it factor. He's got the look. He's got the personality. He's got the intro, and he's got the valet to really be a star. But he has not shown that he is capable of having that 25-30 minute banger match that everybody's like, man, if he can add that to his repertoire, this dude is dangerous. Like, he could be a top star. If he has it here on Saturday, I think that's going to be a really good step forward for him.
Yeah, and I'm curious about Drew McIntyre. Like, obviously, McIntyre's talent is not in question. But he's not exactly known as a guy who can carry average workers to like a great match. And this could be his opportunity to show that he is that, you know. Maybe we'll get a good sort of carried workhorse performance from McIntyre as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be good. I think we're going to be wincing a lot because there are going to be a lot of shots with this strap that are going to hurt.
Yeah, the more we talk about it, the more I'm thinking that this could be a very, very good show.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, there's not a huge, like, star power, not a ton, like, not really like that really marquee. You can make the argument Seth Rollins, who we'll talk about next, is in there, but things like that, it's not there. But man, the matches and the stipulations for these matches is going to be good. Now, having said that, it's a transition to the next match, which I actually think takes a step backwards with the most recent development that Daniel Cormier is going to be the official for this. But the fight pit match between Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle, I was really intrigued by it. I still am. But I think with Daniel Cormier in there, I'm less intrigued by it. I think you have to work more around Cormier and his limitations as a first-time official in WWE than if you hadn't have had that in there and these two guys could just fight. And now I'm like, oh man, now we got to watch what Cormier's doing and how he does as a referee. We don't just get to enjoy the two beating the tar out of each other, because Cormier's going to be involved in this somehow. And this is going to be like, what is his role in this match? How does he do all that? So I think it was a mistake to put him in there. I get why they did it. It's supposed to be the closest thing that WWE has to an MMA cage or octagon or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I like this match. I'm still looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be good, but I think Cormier takes away from it. Do you think I'm right or wrong in that one?
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, I think, I mean, it's just stunt booking, right? It's Triple H flexing his muscles a little bit. He's saying, you know, I can book external, you know, non-pro wrestling stars as well. Yeah, and I think this feud is too intense and has been going on for too long for it to suddenly, for a celebrity non-wrestler to suddenly enter the fray, takes away from it a little bit. I think maybe there are, if you wanted to bring Cormier on, there are other ways and other sort of feuds that he could be inserted into, I guess. Obviously, this is a fight pit, so that's why he's there. But yeah, I totally agree.
Like, if you wanted to, why not just have him announce the match? Like, you've lost Pat McAfee, so you've got Corey Graves and Michael Cole doing it. Why not just put Cormier on there as a third voice to give you some insight into, you know, mixed martial arts and what this sort of looks like? He wants to do that anyway. You know, that's really what his dream is, if he's going to do something for WWE. I don't think it's to have a match. I think he wants to be an announcer. So why wouldn't you do that? Why just put him on the outside, give an outside perspective from an MMA world? Those MMA fans who are going to flock over to this event and watch his pay-per-view because Cormier is a part of it would still do that, even if he wasn't in the ring. He just put a normal referee or no referee. I don't even remember how these fight pit matches go if they have a referee in there. Yeah. I think they do, because you have to submit, right? You have to either pass out or submit or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know why they did that. I mean, I get it. You got to bring in another audience, and that's what Cormier might do. But
yeah,
like, in terms of the actual match itself, how do you think this is going to go? Like, I'll fully admit that I should have probably done my research on that. I haven't watched one of those fight pit matches all the way through. Are they good? Like, are they like really? So, like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, the last time they did it was in NXT with Riddle and Thatcher. Mm-hmm. I think we mentioned this last time we talked, but bring Timothy Thatcher back, man. Bring Thatcher back. He was great. But yeah, I thought it was solid. It was fun. It was an enjoyable match. I think do you remember the Lion's Den stuff and the
the Dungeons Two Hearts things, you know, that?
And then wasn't there like during the Attitude Era, wasn't there like
Ken Shamrock and Owen Hart, I think.
Yes, right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And he rammed his head through the ceiling or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there another match where it might have been Shamrock and Owen Hart? I can't remember who it was, but they had a match in like an octagon, basically. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway,
I can't remember who was involved.
It's going to be like that, basically. Bit weird. I think logically, if you're looking at it, you know, from a logical perspective, booking wise, for Rollins to agree to get into an octagon with a former professional MMA fighter, probably not the smartest decision. But yeah, I'm sure it will be fine. Hopefully they figure some stuff out. And again, it's Extreme Rules. So, you know, I'm not mad at them doing a gimmicky, gimmicky match.
Is there any way that Riddle loses here?
I don't think so. I think it would be a bad, I think that'd be a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the history, like you said, right? And
right.
Seth Rollins has sort of lost a number of times here, but
yeah, yeah. Rollins has lost on pay-per-view a lot this year. He's lost a lot this year to the point where I don't think it matters anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's lost so much that he can just start again. And like, look, it's not AEW. We're not doing like, they don't do the rankings here, but, yeah, he's already lost so much that I don't think it matters if he loses a few more between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and he just made that comment in the Ariel Helwani interview that he lost three times in a row to Cody Rhodes, and he's like, you know, whatever it is, like, I'm better out having been in that and still losing three times. I'm better off now than I was before I went into it. So it doesn't bother him. He's just like, and he said it, he's like, I'll just do what they want me to do. I'm good. Like,
right.
He seems to be very confident that he can make, you know, chicken whatever out of.
Yeah.
You know,
because he's also, I think he's one of those guys where he's like, it's not real fighting. If I lose, I didn't really lose.
Yeah.
I was, you know, it was booked that way. But yeah, I think Rollins will be okay. I think Riddle needs the win. Yeah. But I don't know if this is going to be the blow off or not, but I guess we'll find out.
It certainly would be bragging rights if Seth Rollins could beat him in a match that is, you know, perfectly suited towards Matt Riddle, but I'm going to go with Riddle here. I think that's who I think is going to win this one. You?
Yeah, I'm going to go Riddle for sure.
Okay. Ladder match for the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Bayley. I'm going to pick Bayley in this one. I think they want to give the titles to Damage Control. I think that they feel like Bayley coming back and being in this title hunt is probably going to be better suited to win it in her first try. I could see why, if they don't do it, I would understand that, because Bianca Belair is Bianca Belair and she's pretty awesome. But I think that's what they'll do. I think they're going to give the title to Bayley. I don't know how this match is going to go. Bianca Belair is like super athletic and I think she could do some probably cool stuff with a ladder, but that hair is always going to be a factor. She's got to work around that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Bayley, I mean, she's done a couple things with Sasha Banks that were pretty good, but I'm not sure about this match. I'm going to go Bayley on this one, but this might be the one match that I'm kind of like, eh, I'm not really sure, but yeah. I think it'll be good, but I'm going with Bayley. What about you?
Yeah. So I think Bayley will win. This is another tough one because I think that Bayley needs, I think Damage Control in general just kind of needs that they need to maintain some momentum. I'm not super convinced by their, like, I still don't really sort of, I'm not viewing them as an actual faction. I'm just viewing them as three singles wrestlers who were just thrown together, but you know, that can change. So I do think Bayley's going to win. I think it's going to be a disappointing end to Bianca's reign. And I feel like both her SmackDown women's title reign and her Raw women's title reign, they both began very, very hotly, you know, with WrestleMania matches, with like really well received WrestleMania matches against two of the biggest female wrestling stars of all time, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch. But the stuff in between has not been super engaging, and it's not really her fault. I just feel like she hasn't really been. It doesn't feel like she's defended that title enough times since she won it, you know? Ditto when she was SmackDown Women's Champ. So yeah, I think it will be disappointing to see her lose. I would like her to have a very fighting champ kind of reign at some point. But yeah, I think Bayley's going to go over for sure.
Yeah, Bianca Belair needs a really strong singles opponent where it's just one-on-one, a grudge, we don't like each other kind of thing. The faction and Alexa Bliss and Asuka being involved in all of this is sort of taken away from the rivalry feel of this. Like, I don't really get that Bayley and Bianca are just like really not friendly. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, they just don't hate each other enough for me to be like, oh yeah, this ladder match is going to solve everything. I just think there's just too much going on. And the tag stuff, like the women's tag, great, they have them, but they haven't had a single tag team to fight against. I don't think they've had a single, I mean, other than Toxic Attraction, have they defended their belt since they won them? Like, that's an interesting one for me too. I think part of it's because Charlotte's out, Becky's out, there's no Banks, there's no Naomi. Ron is doing her thing with Liv Morgan. They just don't have a solid opponent for Bianca Belair. Bayley was it, but Bayley's so busy with her leading this group that she's got kind of she's juggling too many things. So yeah. I'm with you on that one. Finally, in a match that I think is going to surprise some people, like on paper, this probably shouldn't be that great, but I think Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey in the women's title match for the SmackDown Championship, SmackDown Women's Champion, I think this could be quite good. Like, partially because I think Liv Morgan's going to go all out. I don't think we expect, like, the table spot she did a couple weeks ago, maybe. I thought that was pretty cool. I wasn't expecting it. I have a feeling that Liv Morgan in her head has something to prove to people who don't think she can do this kind of match. And I think she's going to do some crazy stuff, like to the point where I'm like, hey, I don't think she should try that. And she's probably going to. So that's where I'm very intrigued by this one, because I think that Liv Morgan's going to go that extra mile just to shut people up, just to go, hey, I'm Liv Morgan. Yeah. Like, everybody thinks I'm cute and I'm all this stuff. But like, I'm nuts too, right? Like, I have no problem putting my body on the line and doing things that you don't expect me to do. And I think she's going to do it. And so I have a feeling that this is going to surprise some people. I would give it to Rousey. I think that's who I would put the title on.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm going to go Rousey just because I don't have a much of a guess, and I think she's the bigger star here. But I am going to say that I think Liv Morgan surprises us with some of the stuff she tries.
Yeah, I agree. I think Liv's going to retain here. I think it's going to, you know, then she's going to be 3-0 against Ronda. I don't think Rousey really that. Again, Rousey doesn't really seem to care about losing because it's not real fighting. But yeah, I think you're right. This could end up being a fun sort of gutsy performance from both competitors. But yeah, Liv, you're right that Morgan has something to prove, and she is not afraid to pull out all the stops when she needs to. But I do think this needs to be the end of it, though.
Yeah, I don't know why they teased the Baszler and Rousey stuff. And which is why I would do this. Like, I would give Rousey the title, and then I would immediately have Baszler come out, not that night, but like on SmackDown the next week or whatever, and challenge her and say, like, look, I listened to you. Like, you said, where's my animal instincts? I'm just whatever, I'm floating around and doing. And then, like, the best way for me to prove this is to beat the crap out of you, right? And to have these two friends really have that match that we've all kind of been thinking in the back of our heads should probably happen at some point. That's why I would have Rousey win here. But yeah, I think Liv Morgan, it doesn't have the rep as somebody who's crazy. And I think she wants to show that she's just crazy enough to be somebody that you really want to root for here. Okay. So let's talk about, that's all the matches, at least that we know of. They might add something else, but we don't think so. Let's talk about this White Rabbit stuff. We've got a few minutes to run through this. So they keep doing the teases on Monday Night Raw, and we're probably going to get something else here on Friday SmackDown as we're airing this. This is Wednesday when we record this. They keep giving us clues. Most of those clues keep pointing to Bray Wyatt, but they have thrown in some other things. Like, they had Gacy in the recent one, and we're like, what does that mean? They're very in-depth. They're very detailed. You really got to follow this stuff. It seems to me, and most arrows are pointing towards Extreme Rules being the place that this thing happens, if it's a debut or if it's somebody chasing an actual physical, literal White Rabbit, or I don't know what they're going to do, but it looks like Extreme Rules. But there is a theory out there that if this is Alice in Wonderland themed, and it is the White Rabbit from the Alice in Wonderland fable, if you remember that or you know that fable, in there, there's the Mad Hatter, which was Bray Wyatt at one point in the Firefly Funhouse. The rabbit's clock or watch is 2 days behind. So that would put it at Raw, that this person would debut. That's a theory that's out there. I don't know how accurate it is. My first question for you, does this happen in Extreme Rules, or are we all expecting it to and it doesn't?
Man, it's hard to say. I feel like I don't want them to keep stringing this out. I think people are going to actually like, I mean, people are into it. There's a lot of, I think, a lot of WWE fans who are very, very impressed and taken with this whole thing. And I think I may be giving it a little bit too much credit for how creative it is. It's been fun for sure. I think I would personally, it would be smart to have this finally be revealed at the pay-per-view also adds gravitas to the pay-per-view and makes you, you know, lets fans know that big things happen on like premium live events because people are reason to tune into those. So yeah, I think it would be smart for that to happen. And then you can do the follow through on Monday's Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If this wasn't the season premiere of Raw the following Monday and it wasn't DX on the show, I would say maybe they hold it off until Monday. Mm-hmm. But I also think if it is Bray Wyatt or somebody debuting that we don't even know, because I think anybody else that we know is going to be a letdown. But if it's somebody new we've never seen before, or it's Bray Wyatt, people are going to be super stoked about it. Mm-hmm. And if you give the hint that that person, this thing will be on Raw on Monday for the season premiere, you're going to get all those people tuning in for those ratings hikes anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would have them on Extreme Rules and then I would also have them on Raw just to get that ratings bump. Cause I think that's important. They want the ratings bump, especially on a season premiere. But yeah, I think it's Wyatt. I think the clues are fun. I think it's genius. If you've not seen this, for people who are listening to this show right now, WWE actually just hired a long-term storyline director. I think his name is Rob Fee. He used to do Disney shows and Marvel comics and horror films, things like that. He was a producer on that. And I guess he's closely tied in some way, maybe not closely, but he is connected to Wyatt. They are friends. So it's interesting that this is something that WWE has done, not only because maybe it might hint towards Bray Wyatt a little bit more, but also that WWE is very intrigued by how this push of this white rabbit has played itself out and how into it people are. And WWE wants to do more of that. I think they are keenly interested in going, this really worked for us. People have really bought in. What else can we do long-term where we can spread this out over 2 months, a month, whatever, and really build something up? And now they've hired a guy to direct a team who only looks at long-term stuff. I think that's ingenious. I think it's super smart. I don't know who this person is very well and if it's the perfect fit for the job, but from what I understand in the reports, I think Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful had said that everybody's really into this guy and they like what he's been doing. So I think that's good news for WWE. Do you think we see more of this type of stuff once this debut comes and goes?
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we're going to see some more sort of long-term. I mean, I hope they don't overdo it for sure. I don't want them to keep doing, you know, these sort of cryptic digital scavenger hunt things all the time. But yeah, I certainly think having someone who with, you know, with that kind of mindset on the creative team is probably a smart idea.
Okay, yeah. So that, I think that'll be fun. Let's do a summary of this pay-per-view real quick. Let's give it, if you had to give this show what you think it will be, a rating out of 5, and whenever we do these pay-per-views afterwards, we always give it a rating. But going in, having said everything we've said about the matches, the people involved, the stipulations, what we think might happen, where are you going to rank this? If you had to predict the level of 1 to 5 on a pay-per-view, 5 being the best, where do you think this pay-per-view is going to fall?
Yeah, I'd say before we started recording, I was at like a 2.5, and now I'm probably at a 3.5. I'm a little bit more excited now that we've talked about it and stuff like that than I was beforehand. So yeah,
I'm looking, if this white rabbit thing happens on Saturday, I'm going a 4 because I think the Imperium and Brawling Brutes match is going to be insane. I think the strap match should be really cool. I think there's at least one or two other matches on this card that could surprise us in a major way. And then if the white rabbit thing happens and it's what we think it is, and that's Bray Wyatt, people are going to lose their mind, right? Like everybody's, this pay-per-view has the potential to be one of the best pay-per-views that is not a major 4, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania, SummerSlam of the year. Like that's how confident I am, even though it doesn't have a Roman Reigns on it, even though there's no Cody on it. I think it has the potential to be that good. Yeah. Whether or not that plays itself out, I don't know. But I think it's got some real, real good potential.
And Monday's Raw should be interesting. So
yeah, season premiere with DX and the reunion 25 years and whatever else happens with this white rabbit stuff. If it isn't Saturday, it'll be on Monday. So all right, Norman, I'm gonna let you run. Thank you very much for doing this again, breaking down the Extreme Rules pay-per-view for everybody else listening. This has been another edition of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. That was Norman Quarantine. We'll talk to you guys on the flip side. Take care, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.